Welcome to Perspectives. I'm Joan Herman. My guest today is Gearhart resident Eric Halperin, a retired optometrist turned activist working to raise awareness about the changing climate. A volunteer with the grassroots progressive organization, Indivisible North Coast Oregon, Halperin will speak about some upcoming events the group has organized to educate the public about climate change. Earlier this year, he traveled to Salem to advocate for the Clean Energy Jobs Bill, also known as the Cap and Trade Bill, or House Bill 2020. After a highly contentious battle that led to the walkout of many Republican senators, the bill was defeated amid fears its passage would result in a significant loss of jobs, particularly in rural areas such as Clatsop County. Halperin earned bachelor's degrees in human geography and biology from the University of California, Santa Cruz, and a Doctor of Optometry degree from Pacific University in Forest Grove. This program was pre-recorded. Welcome to the studio, Eric.
Thank you very much, Joan. Thank you for the opportunity to be here.
First, I'd like to know, how did you get involved in your advocacy work?
Well, I think it really started originally with my study at University of Santa California, Santa Cruz, in human geography. I have just always had an interest in the impact of humans on the Earth and the impact of the Earth on humans, and that's what that study was about. So that's where that started back in the 1970s. My actual activism in the current day came after my retirement from optometry in Tillamook. I was a private practice optometrist in Tillamook for 28 years. I moved to Gearhart in 2017. And shortly thereafter, there was a rally in Salem for the Clean Energy Jobs Bill in 2018, the session before this past year. And I just took it upon myself to think, well, the climate is changing. We need to raise awareness for this. There's a rally in Salem. I'm going to go to that. And I did. And I met people from Clatsop County there. And they needed somebody at that time to help kind of organize the Clatsop County contingent of people interested in climate change issues and environmental issues. And I took it upon myself to become a liaison from Indivisible North Coast Oregon to the Renew Oregon Environmental Grassroots Organization. So I kind of was put into a little bit of a position of being a liaison to help spread the word and get other people energized and active in the area.
And I meant to mention that your wife, Bibi, is it Michael?
Pronounced Michelle.
Michelle is, yes, also a retired optometrist and activist.
Yes, we had a practice together, the two of us together in Tillamook from 1989 to 2017.
Okay.
And she's now activist slash artist.
Great. And what makes you so passionate about the issue of climate change?
Well, it's very serious. I feel it's very serious. The reports that I read, the news that I see on a regular basis indicates that we have a very serious global problem that's been building for the last 30, 40, 50 years, where the climate is significantly changing and it's going to put human livability on this planet at severe risk if we don't change our personal and our societal habits. And I just see that as a very serious issue for humanity. And I think I need to help contribute to trying to solve these problems.
I know that Indivisible North Coast Oregon has some events coming up. Why don't you explain what those are?
I'd love to, Joan. So there is the global climate strikes are taking place around the world on September 20th, Friday, September 20th, and Friday, September 27th. Let me just say a few words about the global climate strikes, if I may, and then I'll get back to what we're doing right here in Clatsop County.
Sure.
The global climate strikes have grown out of the work of a singular teenage Swedish girl named Greta Thunberg, who last year in 2018, at age 15, walked out of school and took a sign and sat in front of the Swedish parliament, and her sign said striking for climate. She just thought, why aren't the adults in this world fixing this problem? It seems so serious. And she went and sat in front of the parliament by herself every Friday for some number of weeks until people started to join her. And then word kind of started going out about what this young woman, this young girl was doing, and students around the world joined in. They developed a group called Fridays for Future, and around the world, students have been striking on Fridays. There was a Friday in March of 2019 where I think the number was 1.4 million students from around the world walked out of school to strike for climate. Well, she's coming. She is now in the United States. She's going to be presenting to the United Nations Climate Conference on September 23rd. And her group and other groups joined with her have coordinated for Friday the 20th of September and Friday the 27th of September to be global climate strikes. They want students to walk out of school, and they want people of all walks of life to walk out of their jobs to demand that their governmental agencies take control of this problem. So we have, so Indivisible North Coast Oregon has coordinated events right here in Clatsop County. On Friday the 20th of September, there's a rally in Seaside from noon to 1 in front of the big orange chair at the Visitor Center, the corner of Highway 101 and Broadway. We're going to have a public-facing, peaceful rally. Everybody on the sidewalk or in front of the chair with their signs, bringing attention to the fact that we have a global climate problem and asking our leaders to start making solutions for us. On Friday, September 27th, we will have a rally in Astoria from noon to 1 on Marine Drive at 16th Street and eastward. There's a very large sidewalk there, kind of stretches in front of the Maritime Museum. And we will be having a public-facing rally right there on Marine Drive, the 27th, from noon to 1. In addition, we have a great event on Sunday, September 22nd, at the Columbian Theater right here in Astoria at 3 o'clock. Doors open at 2:30. We have a free screening of a National Geographic documentary film titled Paris to Pittsburgh. And it's a wonderful film. I've seen it already. I wish everybody could see this film. It highlights very clearly the effects of climate change already going on in our country and actions by various municipalities around the country, both to mitigate those problems and to do things to try to reduce their carbon emissions. In this film, they feature issues in Florida, they feature issues in Iowa, they feature issues with flooding in Iowa and sea level rise and saltwater intrusion and flooding in Florida. They feature the wildfires in California and what various communities around the country are doing to try and help solve these problems and reduce their carbon emissions. Following the film, we're going to have an open community discussion. We just want people who've seen, who now watch the film, to talk about as a community, what might we do here in Clatsop County to reduce our carbon footprint and to look to the problems that we may have with drought in our forests, with rising sea level on our coastline, with acidification of our oceans and the impact on the fisheries. We're going to be joined at that open discussion by two very distinguished people. One is Frank Granshaw. He is a PhD in geology. He's actually a glacial geologist. He's a climate scientist. He's taught climate science at both Portland Community College and at Portland State University.
Oh, great.
He has been an observer at two United Nations global conference climates, and he has a lot of information to share about what communities around the world are doing to mitigate the problems of climate change and reduce carbon emission.
Excellent.
Our second contributor is a local person. His name is Stephen Shoemaker. He lives in Napa. He's an IT consultant and an educator. He ran a program this summer through Clatsop Community College through their Upward Bound Summer Academy. And with students, they built a solar array system at the Warrenton High School. And he's going to talk about this local project and other alternative energy projects that he knows about and can help us understand from a kind of do-it-yourself, more home-based perspective. So we're really looking forward to having that discussion and to see the film.
That sounds like a great lineup. If anyone has questions about some of those details that Eric listed, they should be available on the radio station's website on the community calendar section. Well, I wanted to get into discussing Oregon's effort, or an effort by some legislators, to pass the Clean Energy Jobs Bill, or the Cap and Trade Bill, or House Bill 2020. It was known by all names, or all three names. And many felt that it was really a battle between environmentalists and those trying to protect jobs. Opponents felt that it would have hit, if the bill were passed, rural Oregon too severely in a loss of jobs, particularly areas such as Clatsop County, which still has quite a few jobs in the timber industry, as well as fishing, which is dependent on using a lot of fuel to operate their boats. So how do you respond to such concerns?
Well, it's a complex topic, Joan, and I'm have ideas on this. I'm not a policy wonk, so to speak. But I can say, first of all, the House Bill 2020, Clean Energy Jobs Bill, would better have been termed a cap and invest bill, not just a cap and trade bill, because this program was designed to invest money specifically in rural areas to help them build programs that would be environmentally sound for a new economy not based on fossil fuels. This program was designed around rural economies. So to say that it was ignoring them is just not a true statement. This bill was 10 years in the making. This was not a splash and dash kind of plan. People worked on this for a decade to get a program through with concerns for low-income residents and for rural communities. There are so many jobs, there are so many careers that would be available to change our economy over to a non-fossil fuel-based economy, retrofitting buildings, building alternative energy utilities. It's a long list of new careers that are going to be available to help us move away from a fossil fuel-based economy. We really don't have a choice. It's a cliche, but we really have to leave the oil in the soil. We are doomed as a species if we continue to burn carbon at the rate we're doing that. And anybody who wants to argue that point is getting information from people they really shouldn't trust. It's just a fact of science that the amount of carbon that we're putting into the atmosphere is going to be make this planet uninhabitable. So we have to switch our economy to one that's non-fossil fuel based. That will create transition. We don't make buggy whips anymore. So there was a time when buggy whip makers had to find something else that they could do that was productive. And for people in natural resource-based industries that might be affected by a change in the economy, they are going to be affected by climate change if we do nothing. The foresters are going to have a problem with the health of their forests if we leave the status quo and drought sets in and insect infestation set in and those kinds of things. So we have to look at the cost of not doing anything also. So I think that I don't know how House Bill 2020 is going to go forward. I don't know what compromises can be or need to be made. But it's clear that we do as a community have to understand the role of our impact on the environment, but making sure that there's justice for people who are in jobs that need to be changed, and finding training for them and careers for them in a new economy that's not fossil fuel based. I think that there is a way to that end.
If you're just joining me, you are listening to a pre-recorded interview with Gearhart resident Eric Halperin, a retired optometrist turned activist working to raise awareness about the changing climate. I'm Joan Herman on Perspectives on Coast Community Radio, KMUN Astoria 91.9 FM, and KTCB Tillamook 89.5 FM. Just plain devil's advocate, in light of what you just said, House Bill 2020 went down because of the concern, I think, about jobs versus the environment, and a lot of money was poured into Timber Unity, a new lobbying effort that grew out of House Bill 2020. So if such a bill is ever to be passed, it seems like environmentalists will need to compromise in some way with the other side. And I realize you're an activist, not a policy wonk, but do you see a way forward where that could happen?
Well, I hope so. Let's remember that a lot of compromises were already made. For example, there was a lot of discussion right here in Clatsop County about the Wana Mill and jobs there. Now, the Wana Mill was getting a lot of favor in House Bill 2020. The amount of carbon that they emit into the atmosphere, they were only going to have to pay for 5% of that. 95% of their carbon emissions were favored or eliminated through the year 2026. And then the amount that they were going to have to pay for the emissions that they did have were, I think, a very small proportion of their overall budget. So it's not to say that there weren't compromises already in this bill. For 10 years, there was negotiations with everybody at the table. All of the industries were at the table during these the creation of this bill. In the end, the fossil fuel industries and certain other industries, the timber industry, weren't satisfied with the result. But it's not that they didn't have their voices heard during the process. People making the decisions just didn't agree with their point of view. And that's, then they chose to walk out during the Senate in protest. And here we are. So I don't know politically how you get past that.
There has been an effort just recently begun to recall our state representative, Tiffany Mitchell. What do you think about that? And the effort apparently is due to her vote in favor of House Bill 2020.
Well, personally, I'm very sorry to see that. I think recall elections should be saved for politicians who are doing things illegally or are, not serving the public, not fulfilling their job. Representative Mitchell had a lot of very difficult decisions to make. I think she stood up to all sides in many different legislative debates this year and held her own and did a good job representing her community. She left a lot of people unhappy with her votes, but that doesn't mean she wasn't doing her job or doing a good job. I think she gave very careful, sincere, and deep thought to all of the votes that she took. I think she did her job very well, and I didn't necessarily agree with every vote she took. But it's a tough job that I wouldn't want to have, because these are a lot of difficult decisions. And I don't think that the recall effort is simply about her vote on House Bill 2020. I think that was a big part of it or stimulated it, but they have complaint. That group seems to have complaints on a number of other issues. But just because she's not voting in your favor doesn't mean you should recall them from office. That means in the next election, you put up somebody who you think can do a better job. And so I'm sorry to see that this recall is underway.
I'm curious if when you were in Salem, if you ever had a chance to have conversations with opponents of the cap and trade bill?
Yes, I actually did. Some representatives, for example, not grassroots folks. I was in Representative Brad Witt's office. He represents House District 31, which is the other half of Senator Johnson's, so to speak, district. Every Senate district has two House districts. So Tiffany Mitchell is House District 32 within Johnson's Senate district. And Brad Witt, he's a Democrat from House District 31. He was an opponent. And also Senator Johnson, our senator here, was an opponent to House Bill 2020. I was there to lobby for the passage of that, but they were opponents to that. It was a complex bill. It had a lot of moving parts. It was a very large piece of legislation. It would have had a significant impact on the economy of Oregon, but the projections were the economy was in the positive. There was a very large economic study, the projection done, said over by the year 2050, the Oregon economy would grow by 2.5% per year, I think it was, by switching this economy over to a non-fossil fuel-based economy, which grows jobs. There's a lot of work to do to get us off of fuel and get us saving and conserving energy. So, the opponents in this case, they aren't coming up with any solution offered that's going to solve the problems that we're having. And that I can see, they're not offering us alternatives. And we don't have a lot of time. The UN Intergovernmental Panel on Climate Change, the IPCC report that came out in the fall of 2018, really a year ago, indicates that unless we change our course of carbon emission over the next really 10 to 12 years, we're going to do irrevocable harm to the environment and the livability on this planet. We don't have much time to waste. In Greta Thunberg's words, our house is on fire. We should act like it.
And that's the Swedish teenager.
That's right. Yeah.
Standing up for, against climate change.
Yes. Yep.
Human nature is to stick our head in the sands, particularly around big problems that seem insurmountable. And climate change certainly fits that description. So with that in mind, how do you convince opponents or skeptics that climate change is in fact real, that we should each be doing something?
Well, that's the $64,000 question. If I knew the answer to that.
For sure.
but it's true. I think that at least in the United States, from kind of the news that I read regarding polls and people's opinion, I think it's starting to shift. I think there is a consciousness now in the United States and in Europe, I think in the developed world. I can't speak to Africa and South America, but in the Western world, people are beginning more and more to understand the reality of climate change is upon us. And if you look at undeveloped countries or developing countries, India or nations in Africa, when people are struggling to survive from one day to the next, it's very hard to get them to have to think about very much further in the future. So that's a problem too. But if we look at the developed countries, those countries that are responsible for the carbon emissions that are causing the problem, I think we have an increasing awareness and an increasing acceptance and an increasing understanding of the science that explains what's happening with the change in our climate. And more people are seeing it in their daily lives. They have in Florida what they call sunny day flooding. Sea level rise at high tide is causing streets in Miami Beach to flood. They know that they're getting seawater intrusion into their water systems. The people in Iowa, when they see the flooding, the 500-year floods 3 years in a row, they begin to realize this is different. The forest fires of California, all of these examples, people are beginning to see the picture come clearer that we have a problem. And people who continue to want to deny that, we're just going to have to go on without them. Now, when it comes to policy and getting governments to change, one way to deal with that, and this is what the film Paris to Pittsburgh is about, what can we as individuals do? What can we as local communities do? What can cities and municipalities do? We don't have to be told from the top down what to do necessarily. We can start from the bottom up as individuals to change our individual habits, and as cities and municipalities and school districts to find ways to reduce our carbon footprint. And if people around the nation and around the world start to do that, then we will start to develop solutions to this problem. We do need government to lead. And I was in favor of House Bill 2020 because I thought that was a way to move our economy of this state off of fossil fuels. I'm very disappointed in our federal government right now. Not only have they abdicated their role in leading in combating climate change, but they're actually going backwards. They are reducing regulations. They're reducing emissions of for automobiles and light bulb, the whole light bulb thing. It's no longer the Environmental Protection Agency. It's turned into the Environmental Pollution Agency. So I'm hoping to see change on the federal level, too. But as far as what the future is for the state of Oregon to come up with a plan, I'm not sure. I will point out there is one, if you listen to the Democratic candidates for presidency, CNN just did a great thing. They had 7 hours of town hall meetings with all of the 10 presidential candidates. I watched it all, actually. I didn't watch it in one sitting. I taped it and I watched one or two candidates a night.
That must have been intense.
Well, but it was excellent. I give CNN tremendous credit for putting 7 hours of primetime TV on to let these candidates talk about what their ideas are. And they have varying ideas, but one thing they have in common is they all believe the climate is changing, the federal government needs to do something to lead this nation and lead the world in solving these issues.
Before we run out of time, I want to give you another chance to list the upcoming events regarding climate change.
Great. Thank you, Joan. All right. On Friday, September 20th, at a global climate strike rally in Seaside from noon to 1 in front of the Big Orange Chair at Highway 101 and Broadway. In Seaside. On Friday, September 27th in Astoria, a global climate strike rally from noon to 1 on Marine Drive at 16th Street and eastward on the broad sidewalk there. And then finally on Sunday, September 22nd at 3 p.m. at the Columbian Theater at 11th and Marine in Astoria. Doors open at 2:30. A free screening of the film Paris to Pittsburgh, followed by a community discussion with two guests, Dr. Frank Granshaw and locally Stephen Shoemaker.
Great, thank you. Unfortunately, we are out of time. I want to thank my guest, Gearhart resident Eric Halperin, for coming into the studio and speaking about his work raising public awareness about the changing climate. Thank you, Eric.
Thank you very much, Joan. I appreciate it.
The retired optometrist is active with the grassroots progressive organization, Indivisible North Coast Oregon, which is sponsoring several upcoming events to educate the public about climate change. Check the community calendar on the radio station's website for details. This is Perspectives, and I'm your host, Joan Herman. The show is brought to you in part by a grant from the Clatsop County Cultural Coalition. Perspectives was engineered today by Dylan Hauser-Schulk. The show is generally aired on the first and third Tuesdays of the month at 9 a.m. on the stations of Coast Community Radio. You also can find show podcasts on the station's website. If you would like to contact me, send me an email to perspectives@coastradio.org. Thanks for listening.